Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Worth Playing For podcast. This is going to be episode 40 of my complete Survivor Rewatch series, and today I am talking through the finale of Survivor Marquesas, episode 14, entitled The Sole Survivor. I'll also talk a little bit about the reunion show, and then just finish by giving my thoughts on the season as a whole, as well as my thoughts on the players, on Vesepia's win here, and on everything that happened this season. So let's get started. And so it's time for the finale, right? It feels a little bit surreal. The season definitely flew by. I really liked the season as a whole. I thought it was, you know, definitely, I talked about this a lot at the beginning. It definitely just feels a little bit more normal. It feels like Survivor really knows what it is. And maybe that's just the fact that it's on an island when the last two were on, you know, Australian outback and in Africa. And it feels like the season is a lot more realized. The players, they're not as big of figures anymore. They're just like, they seem really like real people. And it truly does feel like Survivor this season really moved the game forward. I think we had players who, you know, were really eager to play the game, did a great job articulating the strategy. And I guess it was a great season front to back. So we get some highlights from the season in the intro. We kind of have, you know, like a 5-6 minute intro package, just for people who, you know, needed a recap. I guess if you're doing it on a week to week basis, it might be a bit tricky. And so we get that, you know, we're reminded of the road to steamroll of Mara Amu in the tribe stage of the game, going into the merge with a 7-3 numbers advantage, where, you know, tempers flared, Boston Rob was voted out, who seemed to be in control of that Mara Amu group, leaving 7 row 2 and then Sean and Vesepia. But given that immunity challenge, with a coconut chop challenge, the 5 of Kathy, Nalia, Pascal, Sean and Vesepia came together out of necessity against the row 2 4, leaving them in the final 5. And in the last episode, you know, we were left with two duos and Kathy in the middle. Tempers flared between Sean and Pascal as they campaigned for Kathy's vote. And she ended up siding with Nilly and Pascal, eliminating Sean and giving us our final four. So a lot of intrigue in this finale. A lot of things would have to go right for any of these four to win. Nilly is probably the most likely to make it to the final two, but probably the least likely to win. Well, Pascal would probably be the most likely to win. But in a final three scenario, you know, Nalia would probably take him, the other two probably wouldn't. Either way, Vesepia is on the hot seat going into this final four. You know, because as for Kathy's plan to play out, like, her idea is, I'm going to go to the final three with Nalia and Pascal and hope that I can win an immunity. That's her plan. Obviously, the situation they didn't account for was Vesepia winning immunity and what is going to happen there. So let's get into this episode. So we wake up on day 37 with the survivors. And Kathy, you know, questions her decision. She doesn't know if she made the right decision. She was just in a lot of pressure. She was definitely like in the heat of the moment. And she's not going to know whether she made the right choice until 2 days from now. And, you know, she's going back and forth. I think she did make the right decision. I talked about that at the end of last episode. You know, you couldn't have accounted for Vesepia winning the immunity. The only like condition I might put on that is the fact that, you know, the Fallen Comrades challenge where they do the trivia on the past castaways, that was coming, right? Like, at this point, they've been using the same challenges. It was at the final four of Africa, final four of Borneo. I believe it was final three of Australia. That's very much in the realm of possibility. And I get Sean was an immunity threat. But, you know, as soon as they see that it's going to be that competition, they immediately peg, you know, Vesepia could win this thing. And because, you, I don't know how much of the show they've seen, so it's probably wrong for me to assume that, you know, they know what's coming. But that would kind of be the only thing that you might want to think about is, hey, you know, we know this challenge is coming up. Vesepia would do good at it. Maybe we vote out Vesepia at 5 instead of Sean. But how would they know that? I think that's just something you can't account for. The tight two of Nalia and Pascal unbreakable. At the end of the day, Kathy's done a great job. She lost the game on day one. Like, she's played an awesome game since then and spent every day trying to recover and doing a fairly good job of it. But at the end of the day, she was just put back so far behind. Like, everyone else in her starting tribe formed these relationships, and she, like, she doesn't have a number one. She doesn't have, like, people who are going to look out for her. And credit to her, she's done an amazing job navigating this game on her own. But it's tough, right? She doesn't have the people, she doesn't have the numbers to really move forward in the game. Because, I mean, she has a path to Final Three, but she's banking on that immunity, and even then it's because Vesepia wins, she's going to be in the hot seat here. So she's doing the best she can, but she's just running out of road. You know, Nalia and Kathy seem to have ways, they're finding ways to have fun. They do some, like, screaming game thing. And we get the first sign that these two are actually have become pretty close. But Pascal, he's drained. He's searching for energy. Vesepia is kind of, off to herself, knowing that she has to win this final unity. She's got to work, otherwise she might be eliminated. They get the tree mill, hinting that this upcoming challenge will be the trivia contest based on the eliminated castaways. And everyone knows Vesepia might do well in this competition. They're scared because she's talked to some people that they haven't. I don't think they would ask anything about Patricia or Peter and stuff like that. But Vesepia, like, her whole game is just getting to know people and building those relationships. So obviously she's going to do a great job at this game here. And the only question she gets wrong is just that which challenge did Rotu lose, right? It's not even anything about people. So, credit to Kathy. She does an awesome job here. And credit to Vesepia. She recognizes Kathy has put herself in a tough spot. And if she can pull up this immunity, Kathy might be in trouble. And it's kind of a final stand for Vesepia. And it's an interesting spot because she accepts her fate. She knows she's in trouble. But she's also really confident in herself going into this next challenge. And I haven't talked too much about Vesepia as a winner, probably as much as I would have liked to. I think probably I was really mapping it out for Richard and for Tina and for Ethan. And I haven't really done it with Vesepia, but there hasn't really been that much to talk about, if I'm honest. Every move she made, she did with another person, right? But even then, there wasn't that much moves. Like, when you look at the pre-merge, she was never in danger, but that's always just because, like, she was on Rob's good side, Sean was on Rob's good side, and Rob always had his sights looking elsewhere. There was always a target in front of her. And same when she moved to the Swap Tribe, Sean and Rob were in front of her. And then they moved, like, they were, actually wasn't really even her, but her and Sean recruited Kathy. Kathy recruited Nalee and Pascal, and they flipped. But even then, none of the three of them did a good job of convincing Nalee and Pascal is really the challenge that did it. And so it's hard to say that Vesepia, like she didn't do anything bad. The way Kathy ruined her own game on day one, Vesepia didn't do that. Right? Vesepia was slow and steady. She was never on people's radar. She was never the first one to go. So it's hard to really point to that's the move that won Vesepia the game, but the way she's been navigating this endgame, I think this is a really great finale, like an exceptionally played finale, to know that Kathy's in trouble, to gun for that immunity, and then the way she navigates this final three, I think is maybe even more effective than Rich's, right? Like, Rich Hatch gets all the credit the way he navigates that final three in Borneo, but Vesepia does a very similar thing here that proves to be very effective. And so we'll talk about that once we get there. So, like, mapping out Vesepia's win as a whole, it's hard to point to anything. It's hard to say, here's where Vesepia won the game. In Australia, we could be like, oh, Tina got rid of Mitchell. At that third Ogrecourt Tribal Council, that's where Tina started winning the game. It's hard to say that with Vesepia because she never had control, but there was always a shield in front of her. She gets built such good relationships and was never the person that other people wanted out. And so she didn't do anything wrong, but she also... She just was good. Like, you can't point to anything, but she was just an overall good win. And we'll talk about, where that lands on my player rankings once we get there. And so we get to the immunity challenge, classic structure like the ones we've come to know and love. First one to 10 points wins. First question, what was the first immunity challenge that Rotu lost, and who did they vote out? It was the SOS challenge, and they voted out Gabe. Nalee gets both of them. Everyone else just got the Gabe part. What is the name of Sean's girlfriend, Ingrid? Everyone but Nalee got it right. So here, we're already just tied at two. And then pretty much everyone is going to get most of these questions right. Whose dream job is it to work for the New York Times? Tammy, everyone got it right. What was Boston Rob's explanation for his absence while he was on Survivor? He said he was in the army. And everyone but Kathy got that one right. Who was the 1997 National Watermelon Seed Spitting Champion? This was Gina. Everyone got it right. Who does this necklace belong to? Jeff kind of passes around a necklace. Tammy. Everyone gets it right. How many siblings does Sean have? He has no siblings. Everyone but Pascal got it right. Who has an American flag belly ring? That would be John. Everyone got it right. What is the name of Tammy's fiancé? His name is Mike. Everyone got it right. And then the deciding question, in which branch of the armed forces did John train to be a nurse? And the epic music starts playing. You should be able to tell who's going to win this one. So Jeff asks for Pascal, who said army, which is wrong. Kathy also said army. So did Nalee. And so it all comes down to Vesepia, who said air force, which is correct. So Vesepia pulls out the clutch immunity, securing her place in the final three when she would have been the one voted out. And so I really fault needing immunity wins, except for when it's at, like, Final Four, Final Three. Obviously, it's not great. Like, you want to be in a situation where you're not getting voted out regardless. But obviously, Vesepio was in the spot. She won her way out of it. And so, all the credit to her. So, it's crunch time now. Jeff wastes no time. He tells Vesepio that immunity is hers. But as always, she can try to parlay that into a better deal. And Kathy raises her hand, and we get to business. So, Kathy says, if Vesepio can vote with her tonight, Kathy will vote with her tomorrow, and the two of them will go to the final two. And this is, amazing stuff from Kathy, right? Props to her for taking the chance, not going quietly. I'm going to lay my game on the line and just propose this, because what do I have to lose? Kathy says that if it's a tie, she's prepared to answer the questions. She just wants a chance. Jeff stops her, says, we haven't discussed how tiebreakers will work, but he doesn't tell them what's going to happen just yet. Vesepia says, we have a deal. I'll vote with you tonight, and you can promise me final two. And it's a beneficial agreement for the both of them. Neither of them had a solid path to the final two. And Kathy knows that, the thing that she's been envisioning with her and Aline Pascal, that's out the window. There's no salvaging that anymore. That can't happen. What am I going to do next? And this is the way. And so Kathy asks for time for her and V to talk in private, as if it was on the beach, so the jury can't hear it. But Jeff says, no, you can't do that. You're now in a public forum. You have to say this to everyone. And so Kathy understands, and they begin to weigh out their options as to who they're going to vote out, Nalia or Pascal. Pascal, kind of gets snarky as they're talking about him. He starts arguing, but, like, I'm not really sure what he expected here, because they have to talk this out in, like, an open forum. Vesepia says, I was going to vote for Nalia anyway, and Kathy's like, that's good with me. And so they look like they've decided. And Nalia says she doesn't care whether it is her or Pascal. That's a bit of a yikes from me. That's never something you want to hear, is that you don't want to be in the game. And through this, I'm going to be comparing Nalia a lot to Kim Johnson, and seeing how their runner-up games compared. And overall, I think Nalia had a lot more control, but you wouldn't hear Kim Johnson say this. Kim Johnson, was self-interested, and I think Nalia was to an extent as well. But there was so much about morals and ethics here, and obviously Nalia's relationship with Pascal. And so saying you don't care, it's just not really something I want to see. And so they go to vote. We see Pascal and Nalia vote for Kathy. We're kept in suspense as to what Kathy and Vesepia will both do. And the votes come in. Kathy, or sorry, Nalia, Kathy, and Nalia. So here is the tiebreaker. No previous votes, no Q&A. There will be 2 minutes to discuss and reach a consensus whether Nalia is going home or Kathy. If they cannot come to a consensus, they will draw rocks, where two are yellow, one is purple, and whoever draws the purple rock will go home. Everyone will have a one-third shot at drawing this purple rock, except for Vesepia, who has immunity. And so they begin campaigning. Nalia pleads to Vesepia, while Kathy pleads to Pascal. They're just trying to, get the votes here. Vesepia says, she's going to hold her ground, because what does she have to lose? Obviously, she's got a spot in Final Three. She'd probably rather be there with Kathy and Nalia, who she has to deal with, rather than Pascal and Nalia. So Vesepia is going to hold her ground. She's got nothing to lose. And like, Pascal does not want to compete with Kathy in the Final Three. And so let's dive deeper into Pascal's decision here. Because at first, it really rung a bell to Keith and Second Chances, right? Flip your vote or it's you. That was the situation that Keith was in. But Pascal said, flip your vote or a one-third chance that you're going home. And Pascal just wants any opportunity to be in the Final Three with Nalia, I think. So he does take this and take the chance that Kathy is going. That's his ideal scenario. He's going to fight for that. And so I broke it down a little bit, because at first it seems like a really dumb decision from Pascal. He could vote out Nalia for sure, be safe. But the thing is, right now it looks like both Vesepia and Kathy are taking each other. And Pascal can't really think that he has a good shot at winning immunity. We're going to see that he actually faints that day anyway. So you can't expect that he would actually have a shot at staying up on that for 5 hours. So the situation where Pascal wins immunity is out of the question. You're going to assume Vesepia or Kathy are winning this thing, and they're automatically taking each other. So for Pascal, go to rocks, because at least you have a one-third chance of Kathy going, and then you and Nalia are in the final three, and that's all he wanted, right? Should be a winning situation for him. Obviously, there's a chance he goes home, or there's a chance Nalia goes, but the thing is, like, it's better than the situation anyway. And so I kind of agree with this risk that Pascal's taking. obviously you want to stay in the game and you don't want to go to rocks. But I think Pascal's thinking, you know, what's the difference between fourth and third? I'm going to choose a situation that might allow me to win the game. So I do credit Pascal here. This is probably the right move. But I don't think he thought it out that I really don't think he did. I think he just refused to turn on Aaliyah. I'm looking at it from like the objective game perspective. I don't think that's how Pascal's looking at it. So I'm going to give him credit. But at the same time, I'm not really going to give him credit because I think he just refused to turn against Aaliyah. And so they go to the rocks. You know, it's Kathy, it's Aaliyah, it's Pascal. One of them is going to go home. And the writing's on the wall here, right? Jeff says, even though Pascal did not receive a single vote, he is vulnerable. And so, you know, you can see it coming. It's perfectly telegraphed. And so they draw the rocks. They have them in their hands. Jeff tells them, put your hand in the middle. And when they reveal, Pascal has the purple rock. So the risk did not pay off, and he finishes in fourth in this season. And so in his voting confessional for Kathy, he says, simply an amazing woman. In Nalia's for Kathy, Nalia said, Kathy, my vote tonight is for you. I said, I would never vote against Pascal. It looks like it's going to be a tiebreaker, and I'm definitely not ready to leave. And then in Pascal's final words, he says, it's been an amazing experience. I've met some wonderful people and made some lifelong friends. And to the competitors that remain, I wish each of them luck. They're all worthy. And to the other jury members, I look forward to being part of you. And so that's it for Pascal's legacy on the season. You know, I don't know how to feel about Pascal because I think it's only natural to compare him to like a Roger Bingham. But I think I would almost take Roger on any given season, right? Roger was in the minority and he made it to fifth. Pascal, you know, I think Pascal kind of just got lucky here, like a lot, right? Like he actively did not even want to flip on the Road to Four. If Road to went to more challenges in the pre-merge, you could very much see Pascal being voted off early here. And you know, he was just kind of following Nalia. Like Nalia, not that she's a mastermind by any means, but she definitely kind of dictated where her and Pascal were going to go at every vote. Pascal, you know, was always just kind of one step behind. Like he had his jaw dropped when Gabe went home, when Gabe wasn't even playing the game, which makes me think that Pascal wasn't really playing the game either. He didn't really do anything. He kind of just did what Nalia told him to. It didn't really seem like he had a clear sense about the game in any way, really. And so I'll get to the final player rankings a little bit later. But that's kind of where I'm at on Pascal right now. I think he's probably going to land a little bit around that Roger Bingham area, but I think I would probably take Roger over him. It's crazy because he very well could have won this game. Like going into the finale, he probably was the most likely one to win. But unfortunately, I don't think that was because he played a good game. I just think that was because if he goes to the end, he's probably sitting next to Nalia and everyone just has so much more respect for him. So I think he definitely brought a good presence onto the season. And especially in that first half, I thought him and Nalia were super wholesome. But eventually, you know, I kind of get sick of people who aren't there to play the game. So that's my thoughts on Pascal. But again, I'll bring him up later when we talk about the final rankings here. So it's day 38, and we have our first all-female final three. Jeff wakes them up early in the morning, you know, similar to Africa, with a program for the day. They're going to assemble like an outrigger, paddle it across the beach to a Marquesan ceremony, where they will celebrate their time on the island en route to the final immunity challenge. And, you know, some good stuff here. They assemble the canoe, some good shots of, you know, the sun rising. They do the whole... we don't get confessionals of the voted off castaways, but we see a couple clips of them. We got the music. We have them like walking on like the beautiful Marquesas mountainside. They paint themselves and, you know, just do a lot of like reflecting and so much praying. Like every 2 minutes they're praying, which, you know, is fine, like to each their own. But it's definitely a lot for sure. And so, you know, they're painting each other. They're reflecting a lot. One interesting thing that happens here is Giuseppe and Kathy do confirm their final two. They say, we're good. We're a great representation of the season. We both deserve it. And they're saying this like right beside Nalia. And Nalia is like, this is bad sportsmanship. Like this is like, I don't like this, but as if she wouldn't be even worse with Pascal. Like if it was her, Pascal and Giuseppe sitting there, like they probably wouldn't even talk to Giuseppe. But it is interesting that Giuseppe and Kathy did not even try to hide it. And, you know, they just kind of remark how different they all are. Like, Kathy is, you know, a businesswoman from I believe she's from California at the time, maybe not at that point. You know, Nalia is a young, like, 21-year-old Mormon girl. Giuseppe is, like, this deep-thinking religious person. They all come from different walks of life. But yet, you know, they are out here in Survivor together. And so they get to the immunity challenge, and this is actually rather quick. Not a ton happens here until it's over, really. You know, this is the classic hand on a hard idol. They're standing on two pieces of wood. They all have their hand on the immunity idol. If their feet fall off, or their hands fall off, they're out. And so they hop on and start the challenge. They pretty much go for an hour and a half, no problem. All three of them do. So credit to them. I mean, doesn't look easy, but they all do it seemingly with no problems. Nalia says, you know, I have to win or else I'm going to be out. And Jeff asks, like, do you know who you would take? And she's like, yeah. I don't think she says Vesepia, but it's hinted that it would be Vesepia. I think Nalia thinks that, you know, she has a better chance of beating Vesepia than she does Kathy. And I think that she's probably right there. Vesepia and Kathy both confirm that they would honor the agreement. Vesepia doesn't look incredibly keen on this, and she's obviously going to take her out once she gets there. But as far as we know, Vesepia and Kathy are going to follow through on their deal. And so they cut to 3 hours, 3.5 hours, 4 hours, and I believe 4.5 hours is the final time we get to. It's already pitch black, kind of poor planning on Survivor's part. I don't know why they let them paint for so long, and then the immunity challenge goes to, like, midnight. It doesn't make sense to me. But then we get to the big moment. Nalia, you know, tries to signal Kathy or let Kathy know that, you know, her shirt needs to be adjusted. I think Nalia was just looking out for her, didn't want, you know, anything to be exposed on TV. And so Kathy, you know, is fixing her shirt and she ends up slipping and falling off. And Kathy takes ownership of this. Obviously, Nalia feels sorry. She didn't intentionally screw up Kathy here. But Kathy, you know, did get distracted at the end of the day. And she admits that does definitely not hold any hard feelings against Nalia. But yeah, so it seems genuine. I think they both kind of discussed this after the season has been over. And Kathy, you know, holds nothing against Nalia. She just got distracted. She falls off. She did not have to worry about her shirt, but she did choose to. And then at this point, it's just Vesepia and Nalia left on with their hands on the idol. And Vesepia tells Nalia, if you take me to the final two, I will jump off right now. And Nalia's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And because Nalia was going to take her anyway, she did not want to sit next to Kathy. So Vesepia gets that insurance and just jumps off. And so this is seen as Vesepia like breaking the agreement with Kathy. And it's definitely a technicality. Like the agreement was, you know, if either of them win, they'll take each other. So naturally, Vesepia does not want to win. She knows that she can probably beat Nalia. Who knows if she beats Kathy? I figure she doesn't, although you never know. I think Vesepia would probably lose that. It'd be close, probably 4-3, 5-2. But chances are Kathy does beat her. So Vesepia's like, this is absolutely fine. If Nalia wins and takes me, it's cool with me. And so obviously this is disappointing to Kathy, and they talk about that at Tribal Council. Vesepia said, you know, there was nothing in the agreement that I would fight for the immunity. It's just that I would take you if I went. And I think Vesepia probably could have avoided this a little bit by just not making it that obvious. Like maybe they make their conversation a bit more private, or they arrange that beforehand, or Vesepia actually just falls down instead of just like jumping off. I think there's probably ways to make that a bit more nuanced. But you know, this, it technically is not a lie. Technically, Vesepia did not break her word, but obviously, you know, it's definitely reading in between the lines a bit. And then the plot line that kind of comes up, Jeff informs him that Pascal collapsed prior to the Tribal Council. He's been evacuated. He's in good care. More confirmation that Pascal would not have won that final immunity. And so from the rock jaw, he had to take that Hail Mary pretty much. And yeah, John gets a chance to inform the final three about Pascal's situation as well. And so Kathy just looks defeated here. She knows that there's nothing really hurt she can do. She tried to make that deal with Vesepia. Vesepia, you know, didn't break the deal, but, you know, arranged a situation where she wouldn't have to uphold it. And she should be going out here. But, you know, so this is pretty much it. So they go to vote. Nalia will be the only vote here, and she does so. And the 14th person voted out of the tribe is Kathy. And so that's it for Kathy. Clearly the main character of this season, the figurehead for strategy, the figurehead for the game. And, you know, I usually say that the best player wins the season, but I think there will be definitely an interesting debate. There's an argument to be made that Kathy is the better player than Vesepia. And I definitely could see that. I'm more focused on who played better in this game. I think, you know, in general, I probably would have more faith in Kathy. But the thing is, you know, Kathy, like I said, she lost the game on day one. It is remarkable that she was able to make it to day 38 with a fighting chance at winning the game. Because on day one, she was completely outcast from her tribe. She isolated herself. She wasn't building those relationships, which Vesepia would never do. Vesepia is always going to be in the heart and soul of her tribe. Kathy was just struggling at the start. But, you know, the way that Kathy sees the game, the way that she talks about her game, you know, really propels Survivor forward. It really does a great job for the game, and Kathy leaves such a positive impact on the game. And I think especially having, like last season I said that when Lex got eliminated at the final three of Africa, he's really the first person that, you know, he gets evicted and we sit there being like, wow, we need to see that guy play again. And I think Kathy falls into a similar mode, like a similar vein. If she's able to, like, if she didn't have that early row two stuff, like if she was able to get a better start from the get-go, would she have won the game? Would she be good? And I think this is really pushing the Survivor production to get an all-star season going, because, you know, we need to see Kathy play again. We need to see what she can do. Unfortunately, it's not going to go great for her, but part of the reason is because she has such a big target on her back. And so, I mean, credit to Kathy. I will kind of, you know, recap everything at the end and discuss my final thoughts on both Kathy and Vesepia. But, you know, definitely just a huge part of the season. Really pushed the game forward and was a reason why this season ended up the way it was. If not for Kathy, then it's very likely that, you know, Tammy or John is winning this game. So definitely made the season more interesting and pushed the strategy forward. And so in her final words, Kathy says, 16 total American strangers hit this island. First thing off the bat, we were working as a team. It was done with positive attitudes, integrity, honesty, that might have been a little shaky at times. It's the relationships and how you can improve upon them that I'm taking away. But I loved it. And so good on Kathy. All right, so we get to day 39, the final day of Survivor Marquesas, and we're left with Vesepia and Nalia as our final two. Nalia confirms to us that she would have brought Vesepia anyway. She knew that she probably would lose against Kathy. She thinks she has a good shot against Vesepia. And so Nalia is happy, you know. She was glad she was able to win that immunity. She felt secure and had no regrets. It sounds like they probably just didn't have time to do confessionals in between immunity and tribal. So now they're kind of talking through everything. And so Vesepia talks through her decision. She knows that her and Nalia would have been up there for a while. And let's just get this thing over with. She recognizes that the final two with her and Nalia isn't going to be the worst thing in the world. And, you know, they pray a lot here. Her and Nalia just pray like every 2 minutes. And so there's no point recapping absolutely everything. Vesepia hopes that the jury will see her as very strategic, extremely decisive, in some parts deceiving, but when you look at the deceptive parts, they have put me in line to get where I am, and it was a great strategy. And that's Vesepia's mission statement, and I wish we had heard that before. When I said earlier that, like, it's hard to point to something to, like, really encapsulate Vesepia's game, that could be on part of the show. Obviously, we didn't really see Vesepia. Like, she was there, and she, you know, had to comment about the dynamics and everything every now and then. But in terms of the strategy, she was never really, really centered. And so I would have loved to hear some more strategy talk, even if it's just something like this, where this is my plan from Vesepia along the way. Because according to her, she executed exactly what her plan was. And good on her for doing so. It's just, I wish I knew that strategy beforehand. Nalia wants to use the relationships that she has built. Hopefully everyone knows that she has been honest and they vote for her to win. And we do a similar thing, you know, Vesepia and Nalia are walking to tribal council and we kind of get like a blurb from each of the jury members about how they're feeling, who they might vote for tonight. You know, Pascal saying they both deserve it. Kathy's saying, you know, she's still processing, getting voted out and the experience ending. Zoe's just happy to see an all-woman final. They both deserve it. And then we follow Zoe's like girl power confessional up with the general saying, I don't feel great about being beaten by two women. So classy stuff from the general as usual. Sean once again says that, you know, the race card is going to be irrelevant. V has burned me, so my vote definitely isn't locked in. But come on, Sean. Again, not because of race, but because you two are so close, your vote is locked in. Don't act anything otherwise. Tammy doesn't want either of them to have $1 million. And John doesn't like the fact that, I think he calls them Bible bangers, have gotten to the end and just, you know, use religion to justify everything, which will be a central theme of the final tribal council. He says whichever one is the most genuine will win. And so they arrive at tribal council. They talk a bit about how they have, you know, spent their final day resting, reflecting, preparing for the tribal council, and then we get into it. So we have the opening statements, nothing really, you know, too much of note here. Nalia says she had an incredible time, she's so happy to play with all of them, yada yada yada. Visepia really outlined her strategy, said, you know, I wanted to have a plan, I wanted to build relationships, and I wanted to not ride any coattails but prove myself. I think she thinks that she accomplished each one of those things and wants everyone to vote objectively. So, I mean, good stuff from Visepia. She's really outlining her game well here before we get into questions. And so here are the questions. Again, nothing really of note. Like, all of this finale was really good, but nothing really, like, any show-stopping moments. Tammy gets on the soapbox a little bit. She says, you know, I've always been upfront that I'm going to lie and do whatever it takes to win. But I started to feel bad for playing my game because you two were constantly being religious and making everyone, you know, putting yourselves on like a moral pedestal, that you two were hypocrites. You were also lying and being deceptive, but yet persecuted us for doing the same thing under the guise of Christianity. And Tammy says that Visepia, you lied and you don't care that you lied because you just asked the person for forgiveness and asked God for forgiveness. Anilia, you just wanted to make the jury. We gave you your wish and then you backstabbed us. I don't think either of you two deserve it. The one who deserves it is Kathy. So congratulations. And I mean, I can't say she's wrong. I don't disagree with anything Tammy is saying here, but definitely comes off a little bit salty, just a little bit. But that's kind of, you know, our Sue Hawk speech of this for sure. So Sean says, congratulations, both of you. My question is there, what have you gained morally from this game? Nalia says she'll follow her heart. Visepia says, when I'm in a situation, I will think it through before I give my word on something. And I assume that she's referencing Kathy. Obviously, throughout this tribal council, what's front and center at Visepia's mind and at front and center in her game is her decision to vote out Kathy, the tribal council, before. I don't think people love that decision, but obviously that's what Visepia had to do to win. And so that will probably be what Visepia kind of fields a lot of her questions about. Pascal says, you know, both of you deserve it. You're both the epitome of what this great country has to offer. You both are awesome. I'll be a better person for having met you both. Good luck. Pretty straightforward there. The general says, what is one thing that will hurt you the most tonight? I think that's how he words it. He doesn't say what will you regret, but it's what is one thing that will, like, hurt you the most? Visepia says, you know, I don't have any regrets, but I hate that I voted out Kathy. Nalia says, it'll hurt me not sticking with you and Tammy, but I had to stay loyal. I'm not sure whether she's talking about, like, flipping at 7 or whether she's talking about flipping at 9. We didn't really get much of Nalia, like, talking through that decision. We didn't know it was, like, an option of her and Pascal to flip at 7. We thought it was Visepia and Sean who were entertaining that. If there was that, I definitely think it's probably worth considering. But I think, you know, Nalia is obviously getting attacked for flipping on the row 2-4. And from row 2-4, it's definitely, you know, a lot of sour grapes. They're just mad that they aren't there. And as much as I didn't like them at the time, I definitely see where they're coming from a bit. I think they're just mad that, you know, the others were playing the game, but, like, are disguising it with under the guise of Christianity. And so I definitely get why they're frustrated, but it's definitely coming off, you know, a little bit frustrating, a little bit poor sportsmanship from these, from the row 2-4 here. Zoe says, you know, work hard, play hard. Both of you have good hearts. Congratulations. Whatever. Kathy says, okay, Nalia, at what point in the game did you do something strategic by yourself? And Nalia says, on day 24 is when I started playing the game. Not great. Me and Pascal flipped. Up until then, I was going row too strong. Okay, so that Nalia is going to say this a couple times, that she didn't start playing till day 24, as if that is, like, a good thing. I'm not sure in what world it is a good thing. But I think she's trying to demonstrate that, you know, up until day 24, she was just genuine. She was just being herself. And then she had to play the game to get herself further. She's not really articulating her game as well as Visepia is. You know, Kathy says to Visepia, your strategy was to wait for others to approach you and you didn't approach them. How did you feel secure in the strategy? And Visepia says, if I felt like there was a move to be made, I made it. And then she kind of beats around the bush a little bit. I didn't really understand most of what else she said. It was just kind of nonsensical. It didn't seem to answer Kathy's question. But also, Kathy's question wasn't really as straightforward. So, in general, here, again, there's nothing really stand out on any of these questions. What's really coming across here is Vesepia had a plan. She had the way she wanted to play this game down pat, and she executed it. She's able to say from front to back, here is what I did in this game. Even though it's not necessarily, a stellar game, it's not like, a master class of how to play Survivor. She came in with a plan and she executed that plan. Nalia is just kind of floating around. She's not really able to articulate a strategy. She's going back and forth on whether she was playing or not. And this is what is eventually going to give Vesepia the win here. John says, I just want to talk. You both lied. You're not innocent. You're not naive. Everyone knows this. Why should I give you my vote? Nalia says, this is tough. You should vote for me because I was going to stick with you, but as soon as I ran out of road, I had to switch. Which I don't know if that's a reason to vote for her. Again, she's not really saying who she is or what she, like, who she is or how she played the game. She's just kind of saying what she did. She's like, oh, this happened and this happened. But she's not, like, forming it as, like, a cohesive strategy or a cohesive game plan. So that's kind of a fault of Nalia's there. But Vesepia kind of gives John the exact strategy that he was looking for. You should vote for me because I came in with a strategy and I played the game exactly how I planned to. Again, this isn't like word for word what she said, but it's pretty much the gist of it. And that is what John wanted to hear. And so, I mean, I don't know which ones of these votes were really locked in beforehand. I mean, I have to assume that Sean was voting for Vesepia no matter what. I have to assume that Pascal was voting for Nalia no matter what. I think Kathy would probably lean Nalia as well. So it really is the Road to Four contingent that is going to decide the game here. And I think Vesepia just does a good job. The Road to Four were never really aligned with Vesepia. However, Nalia is the one who did turn on them. So I think, I'm not sure if they are bitter towards Nalia, but either way, I think they are looking at this fairly objectively. And whoever explains their game best is going to win. And Nalia says that she is relying on her relationships. The problem is she doesn't have relationships with anyone outside of Pascal. Vesepia, her whole game is relationships, and we can see from this vote and how this shakes out that she did a great job of doing so. And so we have final statements. Nothing really remarkable here. Vesepia, recapping her strategy. Nalia saying, "I love you all. I didn't start playing until day 24." Again, I don't know why she was out of her way to mention it so much. That's pretty much where we land. And so yeah, that's pretty much the final tribal council. Again, no real standout moments. Again, not even too much questions. Like, I think three or four out of the seven of them didn't even ask a question. So Tammy didn't ask one, Pascal didn't ask one, and then Zoe didn't ask one. So we only really had four questions. And so just not too much content either way around here. But we do get some voting confessionals. And so John says, this was an unbelievably hard decision. I hope Nalia would really come forward and tell me, sorry, I betrayed you, I lied to you. That didn't happen. V, you came in the back door. You flew under the radar. It's not my style, but you played the game, and I appreciate you answering your questions honestly. And you go, girl. Pascal says, more honest, less deceitful. It always completed the race, whether she was first or last. Very deserving. I mean, Pascal is going to vote for Nalia no matter what. Sean says, yo, we did it, baby. Even though it was a tough road, better that you than me, sweetie. You deserve this. I know you're going to represent. It ain't even about $1 million, but if you do happen to win $1 million, hook a brother up, Help me pay my rent, Hook it up so that we can do this right. But all the love to you, sister, after it's all said and done. We definitely going to do some chicken and waffles and we'll hook it up. But God is good. Remember that. Whatever the outcome is, put Christ first and it's all going to fall into place. So I love you, sister. Keep up your head and good luck. And then Zoe says, going to make this short and sweet. V is not for victory tonight. Nalia is the survivor. And she actually writes on her vote, Nalia is the survivor. And that's pretty much it. So that's all we see. We're tying it up at 2-2, and we don't know where the general, Kathy, or Tammy is going to vote. But that's pretty much it. They leave. Jeff says the votes will be read back in the States. He takes the voting urn, hops in the helicopter. The helicopter lands in New York City. Jeff takes a taxi over to Central Park, where he is greeted by a huge group of fans cheering in the park. And we are now live from New York City. And so Final Tribal Council is over. Again, good stuff there all around. I feel like I don't know if I really talked about it as deep as I wanted to, but I just don't know if there was a ton of stuff to talk about. I think everyone kind of came in looking for something. Vesepia might not have given them what they were looking for, but she gave them something. Nalia didn't really give them anything. And so Jeff does another spiel before reading the vote, gives them a chance to kind of discuss their edit. You know, how did you feel about how you were portrayed on the show? Vesepia addresses, you know, just because me and Sean are both African-American, people assumed we were in an alliance. When we weren't, we just had a bond. We did not have an alliance. Nalia says it was interesting to see people try to put her sweet side together with her competitive side. She is both, but the people on the show and off the show couldn't really blend those two things together, which I think is a really good point, actually. I think people really faulted Nalia in the game for kind of being the sweet girl, but also playing the game. And I think it just has a lot to do with how, like, gender roles in Survivor, which is obviously a prevalent conversation and has been for a few years. About how, like, you know, when a girl does something, it's conniving, it's deceitful. When a guy does something, it's, you know, strategic, it's masterful. And so how can you be the sweet girl and still win the game? I think a lot of people think you have to be both. And so, I mean, good on Nalia. I think this is definitely a really valid point that she brings up here. And so Jeff prepares to read the votes. The winner is going to get a new car, is going to get $1 million. The crowd, you know, hypes him up, they're cheering, they're going wild. So we see Vesepia, Nalia, Vesepia. The winner of Survivor Marquesas is Vesepia. And the crowd erupts. Vesepia falls to the floor in disbelief, and the group hugs commands. The pre-jury boots arrive onto the stage as well. And Jeff really, like, makes an awkward point of, like, putting out Nalia's torch. Vesepia has won the game. The season is over. And I'll quickly discuss the reunion before getting into my final thoughts on the season as a whole. So we actually get Rosie O'Donnell here. We're not doing Brian Gumbel. It's definitely a strange dynamic. Like, she arrives on, like, a motorbike from Colby. She sings a song, like, about the season. And it's funny. I mean, it's already better than Brian Gumbel. Brian Gumbel was just, it was weird and awkward. And Rosie's fun. I mean, I have no problems with it. It's obviously not the Jeff Probst reunion that we all know and love. But it's good. I mean, you can't hate on Rosie's reunion here. We spend some time talking about Oh My Heck. The crowd loves Hunter way more than I expected. We unpack the whole Kathy peeing on John story. We get a brief preview of next season in Thailand. They're going to be there in monsoon season. Jeff says that they will begin it in a new way that will impact their entire time on the island. I think they're talking about the draft. It must be. Again, Thailand is really fuzzy in my mind. It'll definitely be interesting to rewatch that season. And then a really weird segment at the end where they all, like, eat a gummy worm. I think Rosie, like, wanted to try to imitate a gross food eating challenge, but, like, psyched them out. It's just a gummy worm, and then they all eat it, and all of their prizes for eating the gummy worm is, like, a new car. Like, they all get a new car. So now Sean has two cars, and Vesepia has two cars, and everyone else has, like, it's a pretty sweet deal for Peter Harkey. I can't lie. That was just a little bit strange. And then, you know, at the end, like, Rosie's there. She's saying a couple things, doing her promos and whatever. And, like, she wants Vesepia to be right beside her, but, like, Gabriel K just keeps cutting her off. Like, we've seen enough Gabe, but, like, he just feels the need to be, like, front and center at all times. So that was annoying. That's pretty much the reunion. Again, nothing really too much of note. Not like there usually is during reunions, but they don't really talk about strategy. They just kind of unpack some of the big moments, check in with everyone. It's all good stuff. And so let's talk about this season as a whole. And I'm going to start by doing the Fallen Angel ranking. So this is the person who gets voted off right before the Tribal Council. So going into Marquesas, I had 1 as Lex, 2 as Rudy, 3 as Keith. And I think that is pretty definitive. There's really no separation. It's Lex, Rudy, Keith. But where does Kathy fit into it? She's obviously better than Keith. I think she's better than Rudy. Obviously, Rudy had probably some more winning scenarios. But, like, Rudy was just... His success was based on the fact that he was Rudy. And so I'm going to put Lex... I'm going to put Kathy at 2, just behind Lex. I think, you know, Lex is never going to be the first boot off a tribe. And, you know, what I really have to crack down here with Kathy is the fact that, you know, she would have been gone on Road 2 had they went to a tribal council. And it would not have been close. It would have been a 7-1 vote for Kathy. She had no numbers, and really she didn't have any numbers the whole game. And to Lex's credit, not like Lex played a perfect game in Africa, but he had numbers, he had control of the game. And so I am going to put Lex at 1, and I'll put Kathy at 2, followed by Rudy and Keith. Runner-up rankings. This is a tough one for me. So right now I have Colby, Kim Johnson, and Kelly Wigglesworth. It was a tough decision to put Kim Johnson ahead of Kelly Wigglesworth, but it was mainly just due to the fact that like Kelly Wigglesworth needed 4 immunities in a row, and every single time she would have been the one voted off had she not won, which I think is a huge fault. You could totally say the same thing with Kim Johnson, but I think there's just less faults in Kim Johnson's game. And so with Nalia, did she ever need immunity? I guess you could say the final one, but even then, she only needed it because Viseppi let her have it. Viseppi actively wanted her to win. And was she in control? Not really in the pre... Actually, I guess kind of after the swap, but not really in the pre-merge. But then again, they didn't go to Tribal Council. And then she was the one that convinced Pascal to flip. And so I can't put her above Colby, obviously, but I will put her above Kim Johnson. It feels weird calling Nalia the second best runner-up we've had. And what's even weirder is, like, that could stay. Like, she might stay as the second best runner-up for a while. Because when I'm thinking about, you know, Clay and Matthew von Ertfelde and Lil, like, Nalia might be the second best runner-up we have, like, until Boston Rob, which is really remarkable because I don't think Nalia is that good of a player. But logically, I think she has to fall here. And then our winner rankings, and unfortunately, there isn't really going to be much of a discussion here. Right now, I do have Tina, and then Richard, and then Ethan. And I think it's Viseppi has to be number 4. I think there's definitely been a recent wave to make Viseppi higher up on people's lists, and how underrated her game is and has become. And I think Viseppi is rated. I really have a hard time calling her underrated. She's so good socially, but the thing is, what makes her a good Survivor player isn't being a good Survivor player. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just being a good person. Like, she's so likable. She does such a good job building relationships. And that's what helps her in the game. Not necessarily, like, strategy. And she definitely had a strategy, but, like, she didn't really have to do it very much. She was just so likable, and she always had someone in front of her. So I definitely think, like, I'm going to put people below her. Like, no doubt there will be people below her as we move forward, but I guess don't know if I can say enough to put her above Ethan here. So I will have her as the 4th best winner right now. And then I think the only ranking I have going here is the season rankings. Actually, no, wait, let's talk about where these players land in my eliminated player rankings that I've done throughout the show. And so starting with Viseppi, like, all of these kind of fall in logically because these players have only played one season each. They all kind of fall in a logical spot. And so let's get to my list here. I'll start from the bottom up. And the only players so far this season that have made the list are Rob and Sean. And so at 32, I have Kami Kappenberg. 31, I have Greg Buis. 30, I have Sean Kniff. 20, I have Jerry Manthi. 28 is Amber Berkich. 27 is Jervis Peterson. 26 is Alicia Calloway. 25 is Jeff Varner. 24 is Michael Scoopin. 22 is Pascal English. 21 is, sorry, I guess I completely skipped over that. I'm putting Pascal at 22. And right now I have him in between Rob and Michael Scoopin. So let me finish up a couple more here. So 21 was Rob Mariano. 20 was Roger Bingham. And so I originally have Rob just below Roger, just because we didn't see too much of Rob. I think even making this list, had Rob not played a second time, he probably would not have made this list. So I put him just below Roger. And like I said, I think I would probably take Roger over Pascal. And so falling to number 22 here is, I think, the best place for Pascal to land. And so number 20 is Roger Bingham. Number 19 is Colleen. Number 18 is Keith. Number 17 is Kelly Goldsmith. Number 16 is Sean. Number 15 is Kelly Wigglesworth. Number 14 is Kim Johnson. Number 13 is Elizabeth Filarski. And at number 12 here is where I'm going to put Nalia. I obviously think her and Elizabeth probably deserve to probably be like around the same spot as each other. And just above Nalia here is Rudy. And I just have a hard time calling. You could probably put her one up and put her right below Tom. But I think this is probably around where Nalia lands. You could probably pick straws here and there. but just above Kim Johnson, just above Elizabeth, I think is probably where Nalia lands. I don't think her legacy is going to be a huge one on the show. All right, so number 11 is Rudy. Number 10 is Tom Buchanan. Number 9 is Teresa Cooper. 8 is Sue Hawk. 7 is Colby Donaldson. And then here is the big debate. This top 6 here, where I have the 4 winners and then Lex and Kathy. Can I put Vesepia 4th? Like, can I put her above Lex? Because obviously my top 3 will still be Tina, Rich, and Ethan. And I think this is where I'll stop. I think I will keep Lex at number 4. And then put Vesepia at number 5 and Kathy at number 6. I think you could probably put Colby above Kathy. And he probably will end up there. But I think right now this is probably where I'll stop. And so if you want a detailed list, go check the show notes on Spotify or wherever you're listening to this podcast. I know I definitely kind of went through that systematically, but it was a little bit all over the place. So that's kind of how I feel on everyone. I think you could probably switch Kathy and Colby. But other than that, I think I placed everyone about where I wanted them to. And then so final thoughts on the season. I love this season. I think I'm going to put it at number 2. Right now I have Borneo, Africa, the Australian Outback. And I think I'm going to put Marquesas at number 2 there, making it Borneo, Marquesas, Africa, the Australian Outback. I thought this season was great. I think it's just a lot more fluidity. I think Africa has one bigger moment, but Marquesas has just several. Like, it's a lot more subtle of a season. There's a lot more intricate strategy that's going on. There's so much scenarios that could happen. We have a great winner in Vesepia, some other great characters. And then the Road to 4, which just seeing their demise is one of the most, like, tragic, but yet so satisfying things in Survivor history. So I am going to put this at number 2. I did really enjoy this season. But obviously there'll be better seasons. There'll be worse seasons. It definitely will not finish at number 2. But that's my thoughts on Survivor Marquesas. Obviously, a little bit longer of a podcast today because I was talking about the finale. But just really great to watch this season. I'm really glad that I was able to revisit this. And definitely will leave this season with fond memories of this season and Vesepia as a winner. And so where am I going next? I am going to cover Thailand. I'm looking at my schedule. I'm not really sure how much more I will be able to do until Survivor 41. Because I do have a busy year coming up in September. I'm going to try to definitely do Thailand, maybe the Amazon, before Survivor 41 starts. But other than that, that has been Marquesas. If you made it this far, please leave me like a good rating or a good review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. And make sure you keep an eye out for my coverage of Survivor Thailand starting soon. But thank you so much for listening. This has been the Worth Playing For podcast, and I will see you next time.